This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Is the phone number you can use to call in and talk about whatever's on your mind. We've already had a little heated discussion with a caller tonight.
That's what I like.
Yes.
I like it when people don't necessarily agree. It makes for more interesting talk.
I like, you know, conversations. It's better to have a conversation than just sit around seething about disagreeing.
Yeah, absolutely.
603-283-6160. And let's get right into your calls. We have Danny calling. Hello, Danny.
From Texas?
Oh, yeah, from Texas. Sorry, I forgot what... I didn't write it down. Sorry. Hey, Danny, you there?
Uh-oh. Oh, you pressed the wrong button. You gotta press the bottom button.
I pressed the wrong button.
There you go.
Hey, Danny, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Sorry,
hey, Danny.
Hey, Ian, how are you?
It's good, man. What's on? What's on your mind?
Good to hear that you are out.
For now, yes. Hopefully out for good.
Yeah. I wanted to share a little info about the border that never gets talked about.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, but they funnel them to either one end or the other. You know, first it was California for Trump to scare everybody. And then it's on Texas. Well, when I crossed in Arizona at the Nogales border, I ended up in the wrong line. I was in the trucker line. So I got rerouted over to where they check all the fruit and all that. And I ended up on the dock for about an hour, and I just start chit-chatting with the guys. I'm like, hey, how come there's no refugees around here? Where's all the people trying to sneak in? He goes, that's not around here.
Huh.
He said that anybody they catch, they send them to the other end. So they're literally bussing them in to this one point.
So they're making it look worse on purpose.
They're making it look worse than it is on purpose for political reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're just gathering people up all along the border, and they ship them all over there to make it look like some dramatic thing that's happening. And, you know, I live in Mexico half of the year, so I'm crossing the border constantly, and, you know, I don't see that anywhere where I'm crossing. There's not crowds of people hanging out other than the ones trying to sell you fruit and, you know, big hats at the bridge.
So you're saying this is true under Trump and true under Biden, where they're using the same exact tactic.
Exactly. Do you remember they did it down in San Diego or Tijuana? They were all gathered at the border, and they're all, you know, everybody's walking from South America.
Yeah, they're coming from Honduras.
It's all fabricated. You know, and as far as taking your jobs, I don't think so. I mean, I've been a roofing contractor for 30 years in Texas, and the only reason I got my roofs done is because that's who showed up to do it. There's no one. They didn't steal a job that no one was asking for.
Mm.
I was begging them to come and help.
Wow.
So your point is that
a lot of Americans don't want this kind of work, that these folks are willing to do jobs that...
Absolutely not. Yeah, they don't like concrete and concrete roofing. No one else is going to do it.
Yeah, roofing is incredibly dangerous work. It's incredibly arduous work, and it's brutal. I think roofer is like the number one most deadly job out there, if I recall the numbers
it's
correctly.
It's one of them.
Yeah,
I think it's one of them. That and cake decorator.
So,
you can lose your business.
I definitely appreciate the perspective. Now, do you think the ICE people are orchestrating this gathering of these migrants into this one place because they want to pander for, like, you know, to whatever politicians are in charge? They want to get bigger budgets? Is that what this is about? Like, hey, so you can just give us more money and we'll take care of this?
It's to cater to the news, you know, to sell the fear porn.
Yeah, scare tactic.
You know, I don't think that ICE agents are just out there, you know, trying to be malicious and, hey, let's just do this. They're taking their orders from somebody.
Mm.
So it's from the top down. But that's what's going on. You know, ask anybody that's crossing the border, anywhere, you know, other than those places that they're showing you on TV, and you're not going to see that. You're not going to see that stuff. It's all, it's fabrication.
Great point. Thanks for sharing that tonight, man. Anything else?
That's it. And it's congratulations, and hope to see you at the next Pork Fest, man.
Me too. This year. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the
call. All right, have a good one.
Yeah, I hope you get to go to the next one because you stayed home with me.
Yeah, I've still never been to a Pork Fest, so it would be fun to go with you.
You know, I found a story, Bonnie, at The Atlantic, because Kirby had called in earlier. That's what got this whole conversation started about, you know, the Haitians that are trying to come in here. Like, well, how come they didn't just cross their own border on Hispaniola to the island on which Haiti is located and shares with the Dominican Republic? It's roughly one-third of the island is Haiti, and the other two-thirds is the DR. Why not just cross the border there? And, you know, just I speculated that, well, maybe the Dominican Republic is a particularly unwelcoming place for Haitians. And it turns out my speculation, at least according to the Atlantic story published in 2018, was correct. Do you want to hear about it?
Yeah.
So it's a story about what happens when you limit birthright citizenship and stir up hate against a certain class of immigrants. It takes place in the Dominican Republic, and like most countries in the Americas, for a century and a half, they had constitutionally guaranteed birthright citizenship for anyone born on Dominican Republic soil, with a couple of exceptions, the children of diplomats and short-term travelers. And like most other people in the Americas, Dominicans have had a more complicated relationship with immigration than the framers of the Constitution might have anticipated. The Dominican Republic has long been dependent on a stream of cheap immigrant labor that cuts its sugarcane, builds its buildings, and staffs its beach resorts that draw in billions of foreign dollars every year. Almost all of that labor comes from the only country close enough and poor enough to have people who want to immigrate in large numbers to the DR, Haiti. And some working-class Dominicans without Haitian roots resent their poorer neighbors being willing to accept lower wages and tough conditions. So, sounds familiar, right?
Sounds familiar.
Many wealthy Dominicans who profit wildly off the cheap labor supply are eager to have strict immigration laws in place, too. Not because they want less immigration, but because they want a freer hand. Just like you were saying earlier, Bonnie, about people that are the employers of illegal immigrants in the United States. They like that agreement. They like being able to have that level of control over this, those people, because if we had free immigration, they wouldn't have that control. Those people would be able to go work wherever they wanted to. Immigrants in the country illegally have no protection from workplace regulations and can be rounded up, deported, and replaced whenever convenient, including right before payday. The Dominican Republic also has a long, brutal history of anti-Haitian racism. During his rule from 1930 to 61, fascist dictator Rafael Trujillo built a radicalized concept of Dominican national identity on the fuzzy idea that the descendants of Spanish slavery on the eastern part of the island had higher levels of European ancestry than, and thus were superior to, the descendants of French slavery on the western part of the island, which is where Haiti ended up. This rhetoric led to a 1937 rampage in which Dominican soldiers and allied citizens massacred thousands of people they identified as Haitians. They forcibly separated people who'd long mixed together in vaguely delineated borderlands, consecrating a new national boundary that had been set largely by the occupying U.S. military a few years earlier, but which until then existed mostly on paper. In the decades that followed, Haitian migrants in the DR remained largely confined to isolated company towns in the cane fields, known as Bad Eyes. But in the late 20th century, Haitian immigrants and their Dominican-born children left to work in other parts of the Dominican economy. Nationalists who'd grown up learning Trujillo's propaganda began to rethink the law. Because they tend to be political conservatives, nationalists, they often feel pressure to pretend that the radical changes they're making aren't changes at all. So in the 90s and the early aughts, right-wing Dominican politicians tried to stretch a tiny loophole in birthright citizenship into a chasm big enough to swallow anyone of Haitian descent. Their main strategy was to claim that everyone with Haitian roots was, quote, in transit, no matter how long they or even their parents had lived in the country.
So, they're stopping people from who are born in the Dominican Republic from becoming citizens by being born there?
Correct. They also refused to issue Haitians' children birth certificates or ripped up the ones that they already had. Sympathetic local media helped make synonymous the words illegal, immigrante, immigrant, extranjero, foreigner, and Haitiano.
Extraño.
Even foreign reporters got used to referring to people of Haitian descent in the Dominican Republic, an estimated 500,000 to 1 million people, or roughly 10% of the total population, as, quote, Haitian migrants. Even though that category includes an estimated 171,000 Dominican-born Dominicans with two Haitian parents. We'll tell you a little bit more here because they did some horrible things.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back to Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160. That's the call-in number that you can use to get on the show with us. Talk about whatever is on your mind. Give your perspective on what we're talking about. Whatever you want to do. 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, it's Bonnie.
And Ian.
And I want to tell you about Bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. You can go there now and click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find all sorts of valuable information neatly organized to suit your needs. There is no longer an excuse for ignoring this important, world-changing information. If you are a knowledgeable crypto user, you can check out news.bitcoin.com to get the latest headlines of all the news that's relevant to you. Bitcoin.com is your source for everything crypto, like getting a wallet app, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all in one slick and easy-to-use website. Bitcoin.com.
So we've been talking about Haiti and the Dominican Republic, and what spurred this, I mean, I wasn't planning to talk about this tonight, but I did a little bit of searching around after Kirby called in and suggested that there was some sort of dastardly, like, conspiracy.
Soros.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe that's true. I don't know.
He didn't say George Soros, but that's just kind of usually what you hear about. Oh, George Soros paid these Honduran people to come up here. George Soros, you know, paid the protesters, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what spurred this to happen, but according to some of the news in the last several years, it's pretty clear that the country, the government gang in the Dominican Republic, is not friendly at all towards Haitians. So maybe they...
Oh, yeah, you're saying that because Kirby called and said that the Haitians who were coming up through the Texas border, they put a lot of effort to come all the way to the United States when they could have just walked right over to the Dominican Republic, which is on the same island as Haiti. That's what Kirby said.
Suggesting that it would just be like, you know, a walk in the park to just easily cross over into the Dominican Republic. And while there might not be a wall there at this moment, that certainly doesn't mean that it's an easy thing to do, or that if they are discovered, that they will be welcomed in any way, shape, or form to the Dominican Republic. And what we're sharing is an article from The Atlantic written in 2018 about how, in fact, in the last few decades, the country in the Dominican Republic has been particularly nasty
to
Haitians.
They started a culture of racism.
They got rid of birthright citizenship. And look down their noses at Haitians.
They look down at their noses at Haitians because they believe that it's better to be Spanish than to be French.
Yeah, they're suggesting that there's more European in the people in the DR rather than in Haiti, and so therefore they're superior and whatever. I mean, there's always excuses for racism, right?
Yeah.
And so they have their own. Well, the courts didn't like what the Dominican Republic did. And this was in the 1990s and the early 2000s. This was when the Dominican Republic politicians tried to stretch a loophole in birthright citizenship to claim that anyone from Haiti was considered in transit, meaning that they weren't there permanently, they were just there visiting. So therefore, they can't be considered citizens due to birthright if they had children. And they literally, like, tore up children's birth certificates and essentially tried to recategorize hundreds of thousands of people. Now, international courts didn't like this. The Inter-American Court of Human Rights ruled that the Dominican government's treatment of people of Haitian descent violated not only international human rights law, but also the Dominican Constitution. In response, Dominican presidents ignored the rulings and ultimately pulled out of the treaty establishing the court itself. In 2010, the government called a constitutional convention, in large part, to exclude a new group from the birthright citizenship clause, the children of anyone, quote, residing illegally in Dominican territory. Unquote. Given the spotty distribution of birth certificates, faulty census taking, and lackluster registration efforts in the country's impoverished areas, this change was bound to create widespread confusion, but the government's target wasn't poor people in general, it was people of Haitian descent. But even that maneuver wasn't enough. Under all international or national norms, the new provision could only apply to people born after the new constitution came into force. But Dominican nationalists were more concerned about adults than they were of newborns. Fortunately for them, the new loophole had a loophole. A new constitutional tribunal, separate from the existing Supreme Court, given the definitive and irrevocable right to interpret the Constitution. In one of its first acts, the tribunal's justices, picked by former President Leonel Fernandez and a small group of other leaders, took up the languishing case of a Dominican Haitian descent Dominican of Haitian descent named Juliana Degui Pierre. She had sued when officials in her town refused to give her a national ID card, needed to vote and access social services, because, she said, of her dark skin and Haitian last name. Instead of ruling on whether she'd been discriminated against, in 2013, the tribunal declared she should never have had citizenship in the first place because her parents didn't have sufficient documentation to prove residency when she was born. Then they went even further, ruling that all of those who could not prove that their parents had been legal residents when they were born, going all the way back to 1929, when that in-transit exception was added to the Constitution, were not citizens. Those affected were ordered to register with the government as foreigners by June 17th of 2015. And you know, good things always happen when large groups of ethnic people are forced to register with the government.
Mm.
Again, this order was clearly aimed at people of Haitian descent. Hundreds of thousands who had been Dominican citizens all their lives suddenly risked being rendered stateless and eligible for deportation. And where are they going to get sent to? The poorest country on the planet, right next door, Haiti, the place they tried to escape. It was obvious to human rights groups, the United Nations, and pretty much anyone watching what the Dominican government was doing was an end run around some of the most important principles of the rule of law, namely that you can't change the rules and then go around punishing people for having violated them in the past. The tribunal bent over backward to argue that nothing had changed while taking 147 pages to explain the new situation. A fundamental fact that sometimes gets missed in discussions about laws and court rulings is they're just words on paper. What those words signify to the people they govern is often just as important as what the law actually says. For instance, in the original 1865 Jus Soli, or place of birth, birthright citizenship provision in the Dominican Republic, enacted 3 years before the U.S. emerged from the Civil War with a 14th Amendment and its own provision, signaled a vision of the new Dominican state as a place open to just about everyone. As the historian Ann Eller has written, the provision came in a moment of heightened international cooperation when Haitians, who had thrown off French colonialism and slavery more than 60 years earlier, helped Dominicans win their final and lasting independence from Spain.
That's interesting.
The 2010 Constitution and the tribunal's subsequent ruling signaled the opposite, that the Dominican Republic should be a place where poorer, blacker, and more vulnerable workers, the Haitians, were not welcome. And Dominican nationalists were determined to push that message to the hilt. Armed with a new ruling known simply as La Sentencia, literally, the verdict, the whole country seemingly prepared itself for a mass expulsion. The military-ready deportation buses and border processing centers, sounds familiar, for the 2015 registration deadline in June. Online trolls threatened critics and spread racist invective. Facebook and Twitter were filled with an ultra-nationalist, anti-Haitian narrative of Dominican history, which erased historic alliances and played up real and imagined abuses. Many pushed their completely unfounded belief that the true intention of Haitian immigrants and their children was to conquer the Dominican Republic and raise Haiti's flag over the entire island. Doesn't this sound just like the, you know...
scare tactics?
Yeah, the scare tactics from the ultra-rights in the United States that, oh my God, La Raza, Mexico's going to come and, you know, raise the Mexican flag. We hear all of this.
All right, 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever's on.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. An arrest warrant is out for missing Florida man Brian Laundrie. He hasn't been seen in more than a week after his fiancée, Gabby Petito, turned up dead on Sunday. The two were on a cross-country road trip last month when Brian returned home to Northport, Florida, alone. Wednesday, a federal grand jury in Wyoming indicted Laundrie on charges he used her credit card following her disappearance. The FBI, along with multiple law enforcement agencies, continue to search for Laundrie as he remains a person of interest in Petito's homicide investigation. The surge in illegal immigration is more than a humanitarian crisis to some border state lawmakers. Texas Republican Senator John Cornyn says we need to take seriously the threat of terrorists who could exploit the gaps in security that have been created. And you're listening to USA Radio News. The White House is advising federal departments and agencies to prepare for a possible government shutdown. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki saying the White House is doing everything possible to avoid that outcome.
We are taking every step we can to mitigate the impacts of a potential shutdown on our pandemic response, economic recovery, or other priorities.
The government runs out of money on September 30th without a congressional agreement to extend funding. Tens of thousands of migrants are traveling to the U.S.-Mexico border to seek asylum, but the number of illegal immigrants coming are overwhelming border towns. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham is no fan of how the Biden administration is handling the border crisis.
I'm not unhappy. I am pissed. Secretary Mayorkas needs to resign. He's completely incompetent. The border is not closed. It has been surrendered.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That's the phone number you can call to get on the show with us tonight. 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
It's Ian.
And I want to tell you about Intercoin. Last year, we told you about Intercoin, which can help any business and organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. Now, Intercoin.org has launched worldwide. Sorry, I'm a little distracted. I said Intercoin. I just saw .org and it made me say Intercoin. So now Intercoin.org has launched worldwide. Is there a token you want to launch or an app you want to build? Go to Intercoin.org, enter your email, and the team will get in touch and learn about your needs. And while you're there, if you want, get some Intercoins for yourself.
Indeed. So 603-283-6160 is the number here. So, Bonnie, we've been talking about the story from The Atlantic, which, like I said, didn't come in here planning to discuss what things are like between Haiti and the Dominican Republic, but we had a caller.
I didn't even know much about it. I mean, anything about it until tonight.
No, I mean, I was aware that the two countries had split an island, but it had to be brought to my attention again. It wasn't something that, like, when I think of Haiti, I don't think, oh, they're next door to the Dominican Republic. I almost never hear news about either of those two places, but Kirby brought it up earlier tonight, and the island is indeed shared. And his point was, well, why don't the Haitians just cross the border into the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, he implied that there was something shady going on because of that. He was saying, like, oh, there must be a reason they're coming all the way to America instead of just crossing the border, because he was acting like it was easy.
Right, well, suggesting it was easy to cross to the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
And no, actually turns out that the Dominican Republic is a very unfriendly place if you're a Haitian. It is full of people who are very nasty, and they have managed to get in control of the government there. So, you know, it might not have been like this in the 1800s, when both sides of the island were relatively friendly toward one another, and things have deteriorated to the point where people who are nationalists of the Dominican Republic, a lot like American nationalists, who believe that this should be some sort of a closed club.
Yeah, like as if it's a, you know, as if it matters what where you were born on a map.
Some people seem to think so for whatever reason. They've got all their reasons, whether it's, oh, they're going to try to, you know, commit terrorism on us, or they're going to take our jobs. We had another call point out tonight. They're not taking American jobs. They're taking jobs that Americans don't want.
Yeah, and where I'm from in San Antonio, immigrants are often the people feeding people in the kitchens and, you know, in cook positions in restaurants. I've worked in several restaurants.
Which is not necessarily a job that is unwanted by Americans, but they're definitely working, you know, in some roles where you can't find Americans who are willing to step up.
I mean, I think a cook is a pretty hard job. And
it's not easy. There's no doubt about it.
And also, you know, they're the type of people that own businesses that will only hire, I don't know about only, but they'll hire immigrants because they know they can overwork them, not give them overtime.
Pay them under the table.
Pay them under the table and not have to give them overtime and stuff like that. And they maybe don't know how to stand up for themselves against their work or bosses.
Or they're afraid to stand up for themselves.
Yeah, they're afraid to stand up for themselves because they could get tattled on. So yeah, a lot of the times immigrants take jobs that Americans don't want.
And the same thing happens in the Dominican Republic. At least according to the story, here's a very detailed piece from The Atlantic that we're sharing, published back in 2018, talking about how the Dominican Republic changed their constitution a couple of decades ago. And they basically ex post facto, which is like, that's
after the fact.
Yeah, that's it's not Italian, it's Latin, and it means after the fact. And there's like this long held legal maxim basically that says you can't apply a new legal change ex post facto. You can't go back in time and say, well, now all these people that migrated here legally are no longer legal. And that's what they did basically in the Dominican Republic. And they demanded that everybody who met this new definition would have to register with the government.
As a foreigner.
Yeah, would register with the government by June 2015. And according to the story here, many Dominicans aren't bigoted against immigrants. But as the deadline in 2015 neared, the voices of liberals and moderates were drowned out in a sea of nationalist invective. The government framed the growing criticism of their policies as, quote, an international campaign to discredit the Dominican Republic, unquote. Nationalists simply branded those who disagreed with them as traitors. Emboldened by their government, sensing the moment was at hand, armed nationalists marched through a Dominico-Haitian barrios and towns. In February of 2015, a Haitian man was lynched in the center of the country's second largest city, Santiago. When television footage of his body left dangling from a tree spread across the country, Santiago police blamed two undocumented Haitian immigrants for the crime. Dominican nationalists held a rally nearby and burned the Haitian flag. Under pressure from the international community and fearing tourism boycotts, the president caved somewhat. He proposed a second registration program that would offer a path back to citizenship to some of the people his government had just made stateless. The details were confusing, but that was the point. Hundreds of thousands of people of Haitian descent in the Dominican Republic now lived in a state of institutionalized terror, enforced by the police, the military, and vigilante mobs. Instead of the feared one-day mass expulsions that had drawn so much attention, Dominican authorities took a quieter approach. They deported an estimated 70 to 80,000 people of Haitian descent, more than a quarter of the entire Dominico-Haitian population, piecemeal over the next 3 years.
Wow.
So they didn't just go door-to-door one night and round everybody up. They went and got people one at a time over a period of 1,000 days, roughly. Tens of thousands more felt they had no choice but to escape back across the border on their own.
Back to Haiti?
Back to Haiti. In late 2015, the author says he visited some of the makeshift camps at the Haitian border that were home to thousands of people who had fled for their lives. Many had never been to Haiti before, and they didn't know where to go. They'd taken shelter, they'd lived there their whole lives in Dominican Republic, and then became illegal. Many had never been there before. They had taken shelter in shacks made of cardboard boxes, tree branches, old clothes, and whatever other scraps they could find. Food was scarce. The shacks frequently burned down. People were forced to get their water from a dirty river. He says he'd met a couple whose son had just died from cholera. Many in the camps told me they hoped the situation would soon calm down and they could return to the Dominican Republic. I doubt many have. According to Human Rights Watch, the Dominican government has only restored citizenship to about 19,000 of those denationalized in the 5 years since La Sentencia. Violence continues to break out between nationalists and people of Haitian descent along the border. Fear runs high, and one leader of the Dominican hard right has proposed building a border wall. Nor are there any clear signs that the purges and intimidations have helped non-Haitian Dominicans. Largely thanks to the fact that Americans and Europeans still flock to the country's all-inclusive resorts, the Dominican economy is still growing. Although, after COVID, I suspect that's not true anymore because people stopped traveling. So that may have changed things a little bit. On the eve of the feared mass expulsions, the drive to drive home the absurdity and danger, the renowned Haitian-American author Edgewidge Danticat compared the situation to a wild hypothetical. Quote, "It's as if the United States said, yes, everybody who's been here since 1930, you have to prove you're a citizen. You have to go back to the place where you come from to get a birth certificate from there."
Even if you've never lived in this place.
Yep. For some Americans, that was not a joke. It was an aspiration. Breitbart readers roared their approval for the Dominican strategy under an article about the planned expulsions in June of 2015. Several weighed in with racist invective about the black Haitian people. Quote, "Get some Dominican Republic," unquote, one commenter wrote. Another felt inspired, saying, "It's past time that we end birthright citizenship here in the U.S. I wouldn't be as extreme as DR was, ending it retroactively for anyone born after 1929. Seems a bit harsh.
Well, why? Isn't that what most, you know, Breitbart right-wing people believe in? Is birthright, my birthright. I was born here. I'm from here.
Well,
what else makes you from a place?
They want to get rid of that. This guy says he would have no problem ending it for anyone born after 1980.
All right, 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To get on the show with us tonight. This is Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. In the show, or in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
And it's me, Ian.
And we've been talking all night about immigration. Mostly started off with the fact that Joe Biden, under this new executive order, right? It was an executive order that Trump signed.
I'm not clear on that. They keep referencing Title 42 in this CNBC article, but it says it was introduced by Trump, so it must be an executive order. It's just not. Why is it called Title 42? That sounds like part of a code, U.S. code or something.
Anyway, something that Trump started, it was a way to make it easier to deport refugees.
Right. Basically, they said that due to COVID, we want to be able to just deport anybody who comes in without ever asking any questions, even if they say they're here for asylum. Even if they're being persecuted by the government gang from whence they come.
Yeah, no matter what government gang either.
Yeah, anybody at all. So not just Haitians, not just Mexicans, but, you know, North Koreans or whoever it is. If they show up during COVID, we can just say, you're gone, and send them back. And that's according to the numbers here cited by CNBC. In the Trump administration, they used this over 444,000 times. Against 444,000 migrants were sent back across the border using Title 42. And now, under Biden, the supposed pro-immigration guy, in just the first 9 months of his presidency, over 690,000 migrants have been expelled through this very same policy.
Yep, so that's what we started off talking about during the first hour, and then we got some calls. People chimed in with their opinions. We had a call from our friend Kirby, and he says that he believes that the United States, shouldn't be...
I'm not the United States.
I know, but I'm just explaining what I mean by that.
Mm.
The United States shouldn't... Well, you know, he was saying we. shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's a common thing, and I don't like it personally. I try to stay away from associating myself with those people because I'm not part of them. I don't want to be. I'm not the government. I don't consider myself the government. I don't want them to have any role in my life. And I certainly don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be in them. I don't want to be part of them. I want them to leave me alone.
Yeah, it's funny because these migrants that are in the news right now, the Haitians that are coming over seeking asylum and getting whipped with actual whips by ICE agents on horseback.
And then sent back by the thousands to Haiti.
And then sent back in, like, I think it went up to 6,000. Anyways, I forgot where I was going with that.
I don't know. You were talking about getting whipped and rounded up.
Oh, yeah. They're coming over the Texas border. Well, I left Texas in January. What does it have to do with me? What does it have to do with somebody, you know, who's always lived their life in Indiana? It has nothing to do with any of those people.
But it does when they're all being forced to pay for it.
But are they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the federal government is forcing millions of people in this country who pay taxes to support
this. Can force you to do anything.
Well, they can. I mean, if you don't pay them, they can put you in a cage. I mean, and even if you don't pay them, they can still force you to pay for it if you're using the dollar by inflating the money supply.
You know, Kirby and lots of other people who talk about these type of situations talk about us, the United States citizens, need to stand up and tell the government what we want them to do, i.e., we want them to turn around these Haitian immigrants or whatever it is that
we... That seems to be what they're doing.
What we want them to do. Whatever it is that the United States citizens, especially, like, Republicans, want in that moment, we need to stand up and tell our government what we want because we pay them. But they also won't just stand up together and say, we're not paying you guys anymore, leave us alone.
Yeah, why not?
Because they're cowards. Because, I mean, seriously, that's why nobody has really convinced me. I've been saying it the last few shows I've been on. It just occurred to me one day, really, nobody can force you to do anything. They can threaten you that if you don't do something they want you to do, that they'll do something to you. It's still your choice.
Yeah, that's true. It always is your choice. Even if they put you in a cage, you know?
Yep.
When I was in the cage after they raided our house back in March, they said, you have to put a mask on when you're in jail. And I said, I've got a medical exemption. And so I didn't. Now, they put me into 23-hour lockdown because of that. But I never did put a mask on at any point while I was in that building. And they never let me out of 23-hour lockdown. Although, to be fair, they did try to put me in an open population at one point. But
it seemed like a mistake or something.
I don't think it was a mistake. I think they wanted to see if I would put the mask on because they told me that. So what they did was they'd held me in 23-hour lockdown for weeks, and then they put me in this, like, open cell with 40 guys, basically, in, like, bunk beds. And they said, you have to stay in your little cubby hole unless you put a mask on. Then you can come out and you can use the phone, you can use the bathroom, you can, you know, do anything you want. Just put the mask on. And, of course, I didn't. And they said, well, we're going to write you up if you come out. Because I kept coming out of the little cubby holes. I wanted to go to the bathroom, right? At some point, I've got to pee. So as I went to the bathroom, I didn't put a mask on, and they're glaring at me. And I would walk around the cell block, just get a little bit of exercise. The guards. I'd walk around the cell block, get a little bit of exercise, and then they're like, "You can't do this. You can't get out from your little, for lack of a better term, cubby hole. It wasn't a cell. It's open, right? There's no cell door on this place." And then I was on the phone trying to make some phone calls. I think I was on the phone with you at one point. And they came over and told me I had to get off the phone because, you know, you won't put a mask on. And I never did put a mask on. And ultimately, I said, look, you're going to have to transfer me out of here because you're not even allowed. Like, I had more freedom on 23-hour lockdown because at least then I had an hour out where I could make a phone call without wearing a mask. And so eventually, like a couple hours later, amazingly, they did transfer me out of there. And I spent the rest of the time in 23-hour lockdown. But it's to your point that they didn't make me. They did try to incentivize me. And that's ultimately what they're trying to do to everybody in the United States when it comes to masks and to getting vaccines. They want to convince you to do it.
And even if somebody went up to you, a guard went up to you and forced a mask on your face and taped your hands behind your back, still not making you. That's doing something to you, not you putting a mask on yourself.
That's true.
But that's why I just really don't think that anybody can make you do anything. And I've been saying that because my little brother, he's in the Air Force, And I've been, you know, sending him all the information I can possibly help him with to try to help him get out of having to get the shot, because he doesn't want to take the shot. The COVID vaccine. Well, you know, it's not a vaccine. The shot.
Yeah.
The mRNA
whatever it is.
Gene therapy poison. And he, at first, was just like, yeah, it's not happening. I'm not going to take it. They can kick me out if they want. And then he kind of got a little, you know, flip-floppy on me. And he was like, well, at this point, it looks like they might just make me. And that's just, nobody can make
that's
you.
Giving,
put
he's giving up.
Yeah, well,
right?
I think he's kind of he's going through with, like, trying to get an exemption now. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, in that moment, it made me realize, like, man, people will just, you know, give away, like, their own autonomy just in the name of somebody made me do it.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it doesn't work like that.
You're choosing to go along with it. There was a related story about that, Bonnie. MilitaryTimes.com. Service members who refuse to get vaccinated against COVID-19 will not face dishonorable discharge under a plan approved by a House panel on Wednesday.
Oh, it got approved? I remember hearing...
It's approved by a House panel. That doesn't mean that it's full-on a done deal. They are apparently putting it into the defense authorization bill. So this is like a yearly thing that, goes through, I think, where they sort of continually reauthorize the existence. The budget, but also like the existence of the military, because constitutionally the Army isn't supposed to actually exist, with the exception of when it's called to exist. So the Navy is constitutional, if I recall correctly, but the military itself, like the Army and the Marines and all that stuff, those are only supposed to be called together for the purpose of war. And they were only supposed to stay together, I think, for like 2 years maximum. And then they're supposed to disband.
Yeah, that's why I just think it's so weird that my little brother, his job in Arizona, he's in the Air Force. His job is working on planes that go and rescue people, like in the United States. Like, there was a flood in Arizona, and a plane he worked on went and rescued some people. Why do we have the government doing that instead of just, like, private companies? It's just weird.
Well, because people look to the state. I mean, they pay taxes, and they expect services, even though there's no obligation to provide them at any point. But there's a possibility that these guys could get a dishonorable discharge. And
for not taking the shot.
For not taking the shot. And so some of the people in Congress are saying, hey, let's not do that, and they're trying to move this into passing. At this point, they could get it, though. They could get a dishonorable right now.
And that's Biden's decision, right? Didn't he have a quote saying that he wanted that?
I couldn't find it.
Okay, that might have been just a tweet.
Yeah.
603-283-6160. Call in with any of your experiences or perspectives. Free Talk Live is coming up next.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.